You're going to be in a new movie with Mel Gibson?
Yes, we shot it, and it's coming out soon. I just adored working with him.
Tell me about him, because he sure gotten a bad rap.
Yeah, he was contrite, but still pissed off about it. He looked great. He was really buff, and he looked great, and he was doing this mountain man kind of thing, and deadly serious about the film. I've heard it's really good. I've not seen it.
What's it about?
He's a guy that's gotten out of crime, and his daughter comes back into his life, and he gets dragged back in, and he does the first selfless thing ever to try to save her. And I play his best friend, and I don't.
What was he like to work with?
He's very prepared, very serious about the work. And yet, he's got a light touch. We laughed a bit. I was there for about a week or so. We had maybe 6 or 8 scenes together.
You think the public's ever going to totally accept him?
Oh, probably. Probably in some quarters, no. I didn't talk politics with him, and I'm sure we would have been oil and water. But, you know, he's in the tribe.
People going in there, they're eating the soup and then they're leaving.
Brother, I can't not eat 2 bowls of that pasta fagioli.
I've gone in there numerous times, never once filled up on soup at the Olive Garden. I'm always there just like, bring me my tour of Italy. Quit farting around with these breadsticks. I'm not falling into any of your traps.
I like to do just the unlimited soup and salad sometimes.
Put down at least 4 or 5 tours of Italy. I'm doing laps around this country.
Not me. I do a little salad, 2 bowls of pasta fagioli, and like 4 to 6 breadsticks.
That's like what a hobo would eat, I feel like. Are you also ordering just a water and squeezing some lemon and putting some sugar packets in there?
You're trying to tell me if it wasn't old-timey times, you wouldn't see me with like a sack just trying to like swindle people by like trying to fancy talk.
Well, I could see you being like some
Don't mind me now, friend.
Some sort of soup grifter.
Yeah.
Say,
that's a fine-looking soup out of their you got soup. Going there.
Just give it a couple months here. This post-apocalyptic thing going on, economy collapses a little more. Yeah. I think you'll be sniffing out pies that are cooling on people's windowsills.
I mean, we all like to think of ourselves as the hero in these types of roles and scenarios, but
not me.
I'll sell people out.
I want to go quick. Give me like a couple weeks of just surviving on window pies, and then like I hope I just get shot by some errant drive-by or something.
I'm the guy that survives by any means necessary, but by the very end of the film, I do something selfless to, like, you know, be like...
You're like the guy who gets bit by the zombie and tries to hide it for, like, half the movie.
That's Dave. That's Dave all the way.
How would a zombie get into his panic room, Matt? It doesn't sound very feasible to me.
Well, I sell him out to save myself.
Okay. That's all coming together.
Yeah, see? Hey, Baby Oil and Blow.
Yep.
We are your hosts. I am Matt O. With me, as always, he is the star of the Hey Ho, It's the Show.
Let's go.
Starring Nate Adams. This is Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to my band, the Midnight City Runners.
That's just
a real show.
That's a pretty cool name.
Just came to me.
Midnight City Runners.
Start a band called that?
Yeah, we could probably get pretty big on that name alone.
Bust out my trombone.
Tom Rock, call us. Let us know how far we can get on that name alone. Happy 420 to you, buddy. I know he's partaking.
It's a big time stoner holiday.
Yeah.
It's nice that 420 fell in the middle of this quarantine, I feel like, because most holidays happen around this time are just going to be completely ruined by the fact that you can't go anywhere or talk to anybody.
No, this was something a lot of people could do.
Not this one, yeah.
You know?
This is the perfect holiday for just sitting around your dirty apartment, like smoking weed all day like you were going to anyways. So congrats to all the stoners out there. I hope they're having a good day.
Nate and I don't partake in the jazz cabbage, but we did, you know, bang some rails
every
before
once in a while,
we started the show.
If I'm like taking a vacation to Jamaica,
absolutely.
I like to, like, get my hair braided,
yeah,
in some cornrows, and like maybe like smoke a J or two. But
maybe if you were at like a cool party,
yeah.
What would you say?
Probably say jamming on the one.
Yeah.
Jamming on the one. But in right. general, no, yeah, I'm just straight up fucking booze hound over here.
Oh hell yeah, saying. Yeah.
Not doing any rails before the podcast? That's crazy. This thing would
just the usual.
Do you
ones.
Know how often this thing would get off topic if that was what we were doing? That's a very bad idea for podcasting.
Huh.
Got to keep these things focused and on format.
What about if we did a little duster like my girl Allison?
This program contains subject matter and language that may be disturbing to some viewers. Viewer discretion is advised.
She just inhales the whole thing in her mouth.
One or two of those could maybe be good for it, but I feel like it's a marathon, not a sprint. I feel like we'd get halfway through the movie and one of us would be passed out. What's the perfect podcasting drug? I don't know.
Adderall?
Maybe Adderall. Maybe just like a nice 8-ball.
Laser focus?
Adderall and steroids, I think, because
we'd get,
that's what Joe Rogan's doing. And have you seen his numbers?
We'd get through this podcast in 30 minutes if we had Adderall.
Are you saying we'd start doing movie podcasts that weren't longer than the actual movies we're covering?
You know, that's look, I'm telling you, people are tuning in because we are just two charming, handsy boys.
Oh,
you know,
glad you convinced yourself of that.
Yeah, hell yeah. People love us.
Keep those numbers under wraps.
People. Bulovos. That's all I got.
That song right there.
That was it. That's the song.
I don't know where to go from there, quite frankly.
We could do the same thing we do every week.
Which is?
Try to take over the world.
Oh, that's a Pinky in the Brain reference. Didn't watch much Pinky in the Brain. I think I was a little bit too old for that.
That makes sense.
That one was talking like Orson Welles. Was that the
right.
whole thing?
Yeah.
It was just a cartoon full of Orson Welles references for small children?
It's full of country green penis.
Yeah, I don't understand. They were very popular, but that whole rash of cartoons of that era that came on in like the after school time, I feel like they were just made by like nerds who loved classic 40s and 50s cinema out of the
yes.
Hollywood system, and that was all flying
yep.
right over kids' heads.
Yep. A lot of sexual talk
nice,
as well.
Yeah, nice like fart joke in every once in a while, and kid doesn't even care what they're watching, they'll yeah. still be on board, which pretty much my policy too.
There was one from the Animaniacs the other day where the little girl
Animaniacs the other day?
Yeah. Was said to the little boy Animaniac.
Yeah, I guess we're just gonna go right past that.
That she couldn't finger a guy.
Like, yeah.
The like, joke was
talking
essentially
like a 1940s gangster movie type thing. He fingered her, see?
Yeah, but she
dropped the dime.
She full-on made a I-can't-finger-blast-this-dude joke.
Wow, that's pretty dirty.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start watching the Animaniacs, too. I got time on my hands. Today I watched a Canadian 80s sex comedy called State Park.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more about that, friend.
It was just a bunch of kids going to a state park to do some sort of wilderness race, of course. And there was also an evil land developer who was trying to buy the state park to dump toxic waste on it.
You got to put toxic waste somewhere.
People got their boobs out every once in a while.
Okay.
Pam from Seinfeld was sort of the main girl.
Pam!
Did not get her boobs out. I was pretty disappointed about that. But
what about the name?
Everybody else in the movie did.
Do you like the name?
Oh, and that voice.
What about her name?
Pam?
Oh, it's a beautiful name. Pam. Pam. Pam.
Oh, I have a film recommendation as well.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's to, well, you, because you're the only person I'm going to talk to before 420 ends.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody else, you'll have to take this next year.
Oh, is this your favorite weed comedy?
No.
Are we doing our top five weed
it's
comedies
a great
right
movie
now?
For y'all to do your drugs to, and you should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hit film that I saw last night, finally.
Method Man and Redman.
Finally.
Star in?
I tried to get you and Maria to go with me, and you wouldn't go to the theater with me.
I don't generally like going out in public with people, even before this whole quarantine thing started.
I saw the hit film Glass Split to Unbreakable 3.
How was it?
Amazing.
Amazing? Compare it to Unbreakable and Split. Like, is it the best of the trilogy, would you say?
Yeah, hands down. Oh, well, man, amazing. I really like Split, though.
It's amazing. Split Unbreakable gets pretty too. Wild in that third act. I was pretty bored with most of it, but then it gets pretty wild in that third act.
I can watch that British cat do those voices all day,
yeah,
mate.
Especially
that's
when he's like
thing.
Playing the funny lady. He's talking in a lady voice.
Oh,
that's
he's
crazy.
Doing a lady voice. He's talking like a little kid. This movie...
He really overacts the shit out of that character.
This movie delivers all of it, mm-hmm. man.
What's,
all the characters are there.
How's Mr. Glass? Is he as understated and classy as ever?
Unforgettable.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the role he was born to play.
We recently, when talking about Looper, had decided that that was the last movie that Bruce Willis had tried in his career. How is the streak still alive? Were you saying he tried in this one at all?
I don't know.
No, not so much. Not quite so much a Bruce Willis spotlight, movie.
He seemed more like a, all right, I guess we're doing this. It was more like that.
Rightly so.
Like, I can't believe this check cleared, but here I am.
Can't imagine I'd have a different approach if I was in an M. Night Shyamalan movie at this point.
The whole,
in my career.
The whole twist of this movie is the entire movie is a twist.
Could have seen this coming.
The whole movie is just a twist.
Would have never predicted there was a twist in this thing. It's crazy.
The twist is you're the twister.
Now I'm fucking fully on board. I'm going to...
Check it out. It's on HBO Go.
It's on HBO Go right now?
It's on HBO Go.
That's too good to pass up. I still have somebody's HBO password from like 4 years ago logged in on my TV somehow. Well, I can just put that on whenever I want.
You're going to love this. You're welcome.
Matt, we got a action movie podcast here. This is not a M. Night Shyamalan podcast as many times as you've tried to pitch that as a thing we should do. So I guess let's get into our rundown of the movie we are watching this week. What do you got for me? You're giving me a little look. You're giving me a weird little look.
Just getting ready to riff.
Okay.
Glad, that game face.
Glad you're perched and fucking on point here. Rundown this week is brought to us by the New York Post, amazing little rag that does fine journalism. I just
when they start that
read an article right before you came over that's put out the question: does farting spread the coronavirus? And you know, I dug into the article, and it turns out
if it does, I'd like to apologize to my wife.
Quite a lot of danger of either eating poop or being around farts, getting the coronavirus. The silver lining in this cloud is, though, that most people are
stink cloud.
Naturally wearing fart masks when they go around in public, aka pants.
Yeah.
So his article says, as long as you're wearing pants, you're probably fine.
Ooh.
But you shouldn't be doing any bare-butted farting in public. So that's a danger right there. You see anybody out there breaking that 6-foot rule or doing any bare-butt farting,
oof.
This is when you need to get on the horn there and start calling, you know, the coppers to come in and take them down or whatever. I don't know. Are we calling the cops on people who are breaking quarantine yet?
It's
crossed my mind a couple times just to, like... Just
be
like
that guy
going by a house and there's a bunch of people having a good time and I'm like,
look like they're having fun.
Well, I haven't been out having a good time with anybody in like over a month now and I'm really salty about it. I should probably call the police and see if they'll just come and harass these people.
Yeah.
Kick over their picnic table and shit. Dump out all their fucking beers.
Throw a Molotov cocktail.
I'm at the spiteful point in the quarantine right now.
I don't know where that falls on the scale.
No, I don't know. Hopefully it's somewhere in the middle at least. The rundown is, of course, of the film we're watching, Bloodfather. It's our third in our 4-movie Mel Gibson series.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the year 2016. This is Mel Gibson's third attempt now of trying to rekindle his career and come back as an action star. First 2 weeks didn't do it. We'll see how he does this week. Runtime of this film is just a fucking beautiful masterpiece of an 88-minute runtime.
Goddamn right.
True art going down. You're fitting a whole movie in 88 minutes. That's what I love to see. Budget, $15 million. They didn't go overboard. You know, just cool $15 million. Let's get a movie made. See how it does here. Gross, $6.9 million. So, 2016. Mel Gibson, that's still a not a movie star again.
That's not a winner?
Still not a movie
Read
star,
it again.
As it turns out. 6.9 million.
Yeah, 6.9, man.
It's different. That decimal point makes all the difference.
Oh. Oh, God.
So economically here, we're talking about not a success, but that does not mean critically. It could not be a completely different story, Matt, so
oh, okay.
Let's dig further into this movie here. Directed by a Frenchman named Jean-François Richer. Guess this is how desperate we're getting that Gibson can't even get American directors direct his films anymore.
They couldn't even get Rennie Harlan.
Yeah, fucking call up Rennie Harlan. What's he doing?
Right?
Talking to me, a U-Ball was busy this week. You couldn't get him on board?
So hi, here's Uwe Boll, and I have a statement to make about that internet petition. There's a petition out, Stop Uwe Boll, and I said, like, if there are 1 million people on that petition, I stop actually making movies. And I want that there's a petition also out there, like a pro ball petition. And I expect 1 million votes pro ball. And I hope somebody will set it up and you all start signing it. Because look, I'm not a fucking retard like Michael Bay or other people running around in that business, or Eli Roth making the same shitty movies over and over again. If you really look in my movies, you will see my real genius. You know, and if you go on May 23 in Postal, you will see that I deliver a movie what nobody else delivered in the last 10 years. What is way better as all that social critic, George Clooney bullshit, what you get every fucking weekend. So you have to really wake up and you have to see me what I am. I'm the only genius in the whole fucking business. Goodbye.
This guy did the Assault from Precinct 13 remake from 2005 that I've never heard anybody say they've watched.
With Ethan Hawke?
You got me. I barely even remember that there was a remake of that movie.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I don't know why they did that.
I don't think this guy's done much of anything. The stars of this movie, not as unknown as the director here. We've got some big names in this thing, Matt.
Give them to me.
First of all, we got Mel Gibson playing the character of Linkovich Chomovsky, a.k.a. Link. He is the father of blood.
He's the guy that knows what women want.
That's right. And this movie, and pretty much every movie he does, he's the reason for the season. We are doing the month-long resurrection of Mel Gibson here. We're trying to bring back Mel Gibson and see if he can win us over, get a pass for all the awful shit he's done.
I think he can turn it around by making Bird on a Wire 2.
Bird on a Wire 2. Bird on a Wire. Don't know that I've ever watched it, although I remember it being a big hit when I was a kid. Maybe my parents were watching it like on VHS and I wasn't paying any attention to it when it was on.
There's a shower scene with him and an old girl. He gets like a bug out of her.
I was
going to
say, is that the one where like a tarantula gets in the shower with Goldie Hawn? Because that's the one memory I have of those two working together.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mostly for the terrorizing image of a tarantula.
A tarantula!
I wasn't doing any oogling back when I was watching that movie as an 8-year-old.
Oh, Lord, a tarantula!
Calm! Calm! Do murder and calm go together? Calm and murder?
Erin Moriarty is playing Mel Gibson's estranged daughter, Lydia, because it is not a late-career Mel Gibson movie if he doesn't have an estranged daughter of some point. She was one of the girls who was...
She's in nothing.
She was Viggo Mortensen, one of his daughters, in that Captain Fantastic movie that I thought was
Viggo,
pretty underrated.
The Carpathian.
Sort of flew under everybody's radar. Movie about another blood father who's just a crazy asshole raising his kids out in the woods and throwing the bird up at society, just like our hero Mel Gibson does in his real life.
Did the wife die after he ate the pussy on the hardwood stairs?
I think we're conflating different movies again.
Oh,
are we talking about Diane Lane and Unfaithful?
Nope. What's the movie that...
History of Violence?
Yep. That's the one where he's not a European. Naked, right?
Diego Luna, speaking of foreign people, is in this movie playing Lydia's creepy drug cartel boyfriend. He, of course, got famous for having a threesome in Y Tu Mama Tambien.
He's famous for Star Wars.
And then he bored everybody by playing the most cardboard character in Star Wars franchise history Rogue One.
So cardboard, would they be giving him his own spinoff series?
No, in a sane world. That's why when I read that, my jaw dropped. You're telling me the most forgettable character ever crafted for a Star Wars movie? He's got his own TV show coming? Do not sign me up.
He and Alan Tudyk were the only good part of that movie.
Nope. No good part of that movie I'm going to say the guy with the Ghostbuster pack and his Asian friend would have been cool if they
would
have got more than
spin-off.
3 minutes of screen time and no backstory and no
they
character
work. They
should make
that TV show.
That's a TV show I would fucking watch.
Ghost Pack and Blind Face, the series.
William H. Macy is also in this movie playing Mel Gibson's AA sponsor, Kirby.
Is that a Wonder Kid?
Yeah, it's Quiz Kid Donnie Smith.
Quiz Kid Donnie Smith, yeah.
How you fucking know William H. Macy? Guy's a legend of the screen playing weirdos with so much love to give and nowhere to put it.
I heard he's getting braces.
What surgery?
Oral surgery! A corrective teeth surgery!
What is that?
Braces!
Braces?
Yes!
You don't need braces?
Yes, I do!
Your teeth are fine.
Your teeth are straight.
I need surgery! I need corrective oral surgery!
Honey, you got struck by lightning that time in Tahoe, you went on vacation. I don't think braces is a good idea.
Also, in this movie, I want to just give a little love to Dale Dickey and Michael Parks playing a couple of Nazi biker psychos who live out in the desert. Dale Dickey is one of my favorite character actors. She's always playing excellent white trash in movies. Shit like Winner's Bone, Leave No Trace, TV shows like Vice Principals and My Name is Earl. If you need some mean hillbilly lady to show up, you get Dale Dickey. Michael Parks, the late Michael Parks.
Yeah.
He shows up and like, I feel like you never really know it's him until you see the credits. Like, this guy's not a face that you recognize, but... his performances are always good.
He's American John Hurt.
Tarantino used him a lot, and then like right before he was dying, Kevin Smith started using him a lot, which I'm sure is probably what killed him in the end.
Yeah.
Happened to be in a couple Kevin Smith movies.
I can't wait till they finally come out with Canadian Moose Jaws or whatever, so we can watch
that
the...
might have came out.
The trilogy in order.
It's hard keeping track of Kevin Smith movies. I just saw... did a Jay and Silent Bob movie that I have no idea exists. Like, you can just watch it. I scrolled past it the other day. That's a nightmare.
Jason Lee's in it.
What happened to that guy?
Scientology.
Almost Famous, man. That guy was on the verge. He was on the verge of breaking
Scientology
out.
Happened.
And My Name is Earl probably gave him a sweet payday once that thing hit syndication, imagine.
Yeah.
Did he give all that My Name is Earl money to the Church of Scientology,
probably?
I would
assume.
It's a damn shame. Tagline of this film, Bloodfather, they left him no choice, ..
Oh.
There's some shit's about to go down, that's what I'm telling you.
It's mysterious.
Plot, this is an excellent plot right here. Yeah, I'm telling you, if you're making an action movie and you can't describe the plot to me in more than one sentence, you're making a terrible action movie. Plot synopsis here. An ex-con reunites with his estranged, wayward 16-year-old daughter to protect her from drug dealers who are trying to kill her. Period. It's the entire plot.
Damn.
It's the only thing that happens.
Wow.
Get that in 88 minutes. Get in, get out. You might have yourself a little film. We'll find out if the execution was as good as the setup. Now as we transition into our next segment, which we call Bullet Points. Because it's where we go down the bullet points in our notes that we took while watching the movie.
Ah, yes, yes, yeah.
Works on a couple different levels, man.
Yeah.
See, it's like an action
it's
movie
a little
thing.
Peek behind
and
the curtain
also
there.
It's a thing. It's a note-taking, it's a thing. Some note-taking jargon.
My first bullet point is lots of bullets.
Oh, yeah. This is the opposite of the famous line in Cliffhanger, no bullets, bitch.
Yeah.
First scene we're getting is all sorts of bullets.
Lots of bullets,
getting
bitch.
Getting bought at like a Walmart or at least like a Walmart adjacent store. I don't know if we ever see a logo. Did Walmart pay money to get in here as like the place where underage kids can
let
go
us
buy
be the store that sells you the bullets?
Yeah, got a nice joke here we're starting out with where this young girl buys like 10 boxes of bullets and then tries to buy some cigarettes and the lady's like, no, you need some ID to buy those. Oh man, America, ladies and gentlemen,
America.
Ain't that the truth?
This Frenchman comes out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Swinging
thumb
hard.
Thumbing his nose at
America. Good old US of A. Our way of life.
Somebody let that fucking frog know he's on thin ice as far as I'm concerned.
Planning on going to any of those stop the shutdown protests?
Yeah, all of them. I've been trying to go to all of them.
Well, the fucking hillbillies around here. I got to imagine we're going to have one soon.
I'm like, hey, my body, my choice.
I'm going to pull out every item of Confederate flag clothing I have, just wear them head to toe.
I'm just going to go there.
This is going to be my 4th of July.
I'm going to go there and just bare-ass fart everywhere.
Oh, man, there's no better way to display your freedom.
If the COVID-19 was real, would I be able to do this?
Somebody get a coffee filter over that guy's O-ring. So this first scene, we figure out that we're buying bullets because we got a young girl hanging out with some Mexican drug cartel
some
guys.
Bad hombres, and Nate.
My first bullet point is just that these guys do not look like the sort of bad hombres that a girl who looks this young should be hanging out with.
No.
Just visually in the casting, they've really gone head and shoulders above to make this every father's nightmare.
Every white father's
nightmare.
What
could fucking happen to your daughter? Like,
yeah.
This Aaron Moriarty sitting next to Diego Luna. This guy's visually like 25 years older than her.
Right.
And like just treating her like
he looks beautiful with that long hair, though.
He really does. But it just, it feels like you're hanging out with R. Kelly, like this first scene where she's just in the car with these guys and it's clear that
yeah.
they're hanging out all the time. And he's got that tattoo of her name on his chest.
On
so
his
like,
heart.
This is some real fucking...
Nate, his heart.
This is some real fucking weird shit going on right here. It makes me very uncomfortable. And we get a scene where basically they go to like kill a bunch of just regular white folk living in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And she freaks out. She like stumbles in while it's happening. Old boy puts a gun in her hand and is like, shoot this lady. And then
right.
she freaks out and shoots her boyfriend in the neck and kills him.
Yeah.
We've got an inciting incident, I think is what we'd call it in the screenwriting game here, where a little white girl has now killed a cartel guy and she's got to run out of there. She's on the
run.
That
makes her head of the cartel now.
Yeah, no. Turns out it doesn't.
Oh, God.
You got to declare it. It's like how if your teacher doesn't show up after 10 minutes, you're all allowed to leave. If you shoot a cartel guy and you declare that you're taking his spot in 10 minutes, that's fine.
But if you don't...
10 minutes passes and you don't, like, it's done.
They come for you.
That's the rule, yeah. Now they're coming for you.
Oh,
so now
Jesus.
This young girl's got people coming for her. She's going to need a blood father, Matt.
Ooh.
It's a gross title they went with here, Bloodfather.
So.
It sounds like some sort of incesty pedophilia thing, if I had to guess. If you're like, what's Bloodfather about? Just like, ugh, I don't want to know.
So that scene ends. Immediately we pick up, it's Mel Gibson time.
Yeah.
So it's a dark room. George Michael's father figure starts playing, right? Mel Gibson's just shirtless and he's dancing and he's writhing,
he's got
right?
it tucked back between
he's
his thighs.
He's writhing real, like, sexually. And it's like, this guy's working at, like, a sex club. And then they pan back and it shows you. It's all other dudes in the crowd, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
It's all dudes.
Yeah. Older gentlemen. I think you did watch
Bloodfather.
I think you watched a different cut of this film. The real first scene we get of Mel Gibson is just him in an AA meeting, man. And this is one of my bullet points here, where it's just like, all right, Edge of Darkness did not bring my career back, didn't rehabilitate me. People were still like, no.
Yeah.
Get the Gringo did not do the trick. People are still not calling for me to come back as a big star. Now I'm just going to flat out be an alcoholic in a movie and talk the entire movie about what an asshole I've been and how I'm sober now. And let's just see if we can, on a meta level, try to make amends with the audience and see if that follows in real life. So that's the first fucking thing we get right here.
Right.
He's just like literally monologuing about what a fucking asshole he's been his whole life.
But you know what?
What's that?
He looks fucking great.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of gray going on here.
A lot of gray.
That fucking like pointy Mel Gibson hair is kind of just like a little bit too long and sticking out in every direction.
He's got the lines like going hardcore in his face these
bomb
days.
Blew up in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
Just like a starving coyote somebody's trying to domesticate into a pet is basically the character he's playing in this movie.
He's like ripped to shit and like
mm-hmm.
a doughy piece of shit at the same time in this movie.
Dad bod is what's going on.
He's
blood dad bod.
He's like overly tan.
Oh,
not like fake tan, but
he's
like
living out in the desert.
Living
man.
In a sun. Like he looks like
still
it.
Still got those white movie star teeth, though, that are just like popping against that leathery Hulk Hogan skin he's got going on.
He looks
it's
cool.
It's a look. And one of the first things we learn about him here, other than he's in AA and he's sober, is that he's living in a Riggs trailer right here.
Yep.
He's Martin Riggs in it out in a weird, lonely trailer.
He's in there.
In the desert.
He's in there tatting a whore.
Yeah, he's doing tattoos out of his fucking trailer for a fucking living.
Yeah.
He's in the middle of fucking nowhere, probably where they shot Raising Arizona. This guy's life is weird. It's isolated. Other than that tattoo and shit he's going on, he'd probably be set up for the coronavirus pretty well.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And it's like, okay, he's apologizing to us. He's being straight with us. He's throwing back to the Martin Riggs shit that originally made us fall in love with him.
Right.
I think maybe this is the thing that's going to turn me around on Mel Gibson and be like, Mel Gibson, I embrace you again. Please come here with us into the light.
He kneels down, washes your feet.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a scene where he has washed somebody's feet in one of these movies yet. That would be some good shit.
Just spell it all the way out.
We get some missing persons posted up on his wall here, and mm-hmm. we learn that this is his daughter, this crazy bitch from the first scene. This is Mel Gibson's daughter. She's been missing for many years.
Lets you know he has a blood daughter.
He's got her. He's got his blood daughter on his mind, but he's not out there exactly actively looking for her or nothing.
No,
but
uh-uh.
She calls next.
Out of the blue.
Out of the blue. And is like, hey, blood father, it's blood daughter. I got some blood on my hands, quite frankly. I'm going to need a couple grand so I can go up to Oregon, which is what people do when they get in trouble.
Yeah.
Going to go to Oregon and wait some tables or something. Probably end up in Eugene, I imagine.
I'm looking for just a shit ton of basic white folks to blend into with.
Falling with like another probably go loser to Oregon. Boyfriend, but this one's just like selling organic fucking shit and some weed on the side with it, so much less bad news than a cartel guy. I think this could have been a decent life for her, this theoretical trip to Oregon.
I feel there's meth in Oregon. I feel like she could get messed up with a
meth. Oh, yeah. If you leave the city limits, there's meth all over Oregon. That's why you got to stay in one of these hippie towns where people got the little, like, victory gardens going on. Two different Oregons. You could find either one, depending on what you're looking for.
Hmm.
You're right. We learned that this bitch is on drugs in a pretty serious way. She's fucking all zooted up. She's a mess. She's addicted. She would have fallen into the methy white supremacist green room version of Oregon.
Yeah. And, it screams her name.
This is one of the first things Mel Gibson learns. This guy's been around the block. He did like seven years in the joint.
Nine?
Fuck, he did nine. Even more. He's,
nine whole calendars.
He's clearly had his nose in some fucking cocaine here and there.
Oh, he says it himself. He's back when he was doing hard drinking and hard drugging.
He's eyeing this chick, and she's just like zipping around the room, talking all crazy, and he's like, oh, Jesus Christ, fucking got a cokehead bitch for a daughter.
Yeah.
There's nothing more annoying than coked up bitches out at the bar.
Yeah.
Talking your fucking ear off, thinking they're so charming and everybody loves them.
He's just thinking, would it kill you to suck my dick and smile?
That's what he's thinking about his Eastern European trophy brides.
Oksana Bayul, his wife.
No indication that he's ever said anything like that to his daughter, as far as I know.
All right.
This is the point where I'm going to Google it and discover that, no, this shit actually does exist. It's out there.
God damn it.
It's getting harder and harder to defend Mel Gibson out here.
Hard to be a Mel Gibson fan in the streets, you know?
But yeah, eventually he just takes her by the arm and starts growling at her. It's the first time I get like the Mel Gibson growl in this movie where he's just like, I'm sick of this shit.
He breaks her clarinet apart and he's like, I hate the music, man.
He's like, there's no fucking reason on earth this bitch would be carrying around this clarinet unless she was stashing her drugs in it. I know why the fuck she's got this thing with her still.
He's like, you wanted me to break your elbow? She's like, it's clarinet, Dad. Blood and he's like, I know what the fuck it is.
Bloodfather knows.
Bloodfather.
An oboe. I don't think I've ever known anybody who's played an oboe.
It's a very difficult instrument to play, Nate.
If you're choosing the oboe.
On account of the armature.
And also, it just sounds like Kid Rock's Wounded Duck.
Can I tell you
uh-huh.
who generally played the oboe?
Dorks.
The dorkiest kids in band.
That's what I'm saying. You really got it going on.
So not just dorks.
It's hard and it sounds like shit.
The dorkiest kids in
You're
band.
You're playing the oboe. Yeah. Ooh, there's a little bubble off.
Like, you want to say something redundant? Be like, hey, did you hear the oboe player got straight A's
mm-hmm,
this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the oboe player is like the band kid who is not getting laid by the other band kids.
Right.
Like, even they are just like, fucking take a hike, virgin.
They're like, this guy's weird.
Tough road to hoe when you're playing the oboe.
You need a hoe if you're playing the oboe, or you ain't gonna get no satisfaction. Hey, hey, hey.
So yeah, this is what we get, is them just hanging out in his trailer for a while. Her being like, I need some money so I can leave. Him being like, well, maybe you should hang out in this trailer and come down off drugs for a while or something.
And then they start playing Bush's Come Down.
And yeah. This movie cool, huh? It's of course this was made in the 2010, but it's set in the 90s. Just... Weirdly, they set it in 1997.
At first, I thought the grunge rock soundtrack was weird, and then I realized it was 96.
There's no grunge rock soundtrack, but what we do get in pretty short turn is these Mexican cartel guys showing up looking for their revenge.
Yeah.
Movie. This is how we can get like an 88 minutes. There's no fill in between the lines.
Don't need to tell you how
these guys figured out where she is or that she's got a dad or where her dad is. It's just like.
They declare she has her cell phone still.
And this is a question I have throughout the entire fucking movie where they're texting her these. Death threats and vulgar things through her cell phone. And
I'm going
like,
to stick a chili pepper in your butthole.
I don't think the movie ever explicitly says they're tracking her through having her cell phone, but I'm like, shouldn't she at least be worried that they could track her through having her cell phone? Yeah. Like, she just keeps looking at her cell phone, and like, it's never questioned by anybody. Like, hey, why don't you get rid of that cell phone? And like, there are a couple points where these guys do just show up wherever she is, and I'm like, does this come back to the fact that she still has her stupid fucking cell phone?
That's exactly how.
If it is, it's never shown that exactly, but I was sort of assuming that, and I'm like, it's weird that it's so vague here.
Yeah.
And that nobody, especially hardened, wise Mel Gibson, isn't being like, is that your cell phone?
Get it the fuck out of
here. Fucking get rid of that and get us a fucking burner phone. Turns out the Mexican cartels have some connections.
Yeah.
You could probably put in a call to somebody and get a trace on that cell phone pretty easy. The subject is never broached.
His cousin totally works at the Cricket. You know?
And obviously, both his cousins, Chewy, work at the Cricket. Different ones. Chewy one works at the one over on 14th Street.
Duh.
Big Chewy works at the one down on Harrison.
Big Chewy. He's a good dude.
My favorite of the cousins.
So what happens next? These guys are here, man.
Yeah, they
they're
fucking,
just fucking
start
here.
Shooting the shit out
they're
of
like,
the
they're like, hey, Holmes, let me get a tattoo. And he's all like... Trailer's closed. I thought you could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an old man. I just want to go to sleep.
He's trying to give them the gruff old man routine.
Yeah.
They're not having it. They're like, you don't understand how cocky and rich we are. Like, we're the Mexican cartels now. We're the coolest thing out there.
Bro, I don't know if you've heard about the cartel, but we are it.
Old men do not scare us off by being gruff and saying, get off my property. Like, we're in charge.
We saw...
Especially in desert towns like this.
We saw that film of that guy that you impersonated in the last film.
That's right. Also, remember Killer Bees from the 90s? They were going to come up out of Mexico and take over? Didn't happen, but the Mexican drug cartels did anyways.
That was terrorizing.
We're like the real life killer bees. When I was a fucking little kid,
remember that?
All those news reports and shit, they had me so afraid of killer bees.
Killing us? Calm! Calm! Do murder and calm go together? Calm and murder?
I wonder so many people were fucking out there giving each other hand jobs in the face of coronavirus for so long. They were filling our head with all this killer bees stuff for so long, and then nothing came of it.
Just imagine riding on the high of the land.
Trust?
Watching Michael Jordan, you know, dash somebody's...
You think he can three-peat?
Championship
think
dreams.
He's going to be able to three-peat?
What comes on right after the basketball game? The news.
Not sure if they're going to be able to finish out this series with the killer bees coming in so
and
hot
and the news
heavy.
Are like, ooh, well, they're going to Houston to play the fucking Rockets.
Houston? That
you know
place has got to be lousy with
killer bees.
People are crazy.
That wasn't really bad. That
shut down the country at the Mason-Dixon, not let anybody south of it.
You worry every time you see a bee, and you worry every van you see is going to have Homie the Clown in it.
Yeah, there's clown killers, very afraid of them. Killer bees. Going back to the 80s, quicksand is another thing I was very worried about.
Quicksand was in everything.
TV and film had fucking made me... believe that I'd be coming across quicksand two or three times a week as an adult. Turns out quicksand is so rare they don't even put it in movies anymore.
I was just gonna say though, they
the last
do.
Time.
They I've seen it in movies and television
quicksand
lately.
Quicksand coming back? I haven't seen somebody fall into
like,
quicksand in a
but
long
the thing,
ass time.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't kill them. It's just you know we're just kind of stuck here for a minute.
Oh yeah, deadly quicksand is just a minor inconvenience.
And that's the thing. I can't disconnect enough. I see it and I'm like. Oh, Jesus, they're going
to
die.
What's the point of having quicksand in your movie if it's not a deadly threat? It's not adding anything to the stakes.
I think it's a fuck you to our generation, Nate.
It's like, you guys are so worried about quicksand. You know, we got a pool of quicksand and killer bees. We're just hanging out in it. rolling around like Scrooge McDuck. Happy.
I don't like these.
Just living our best lives.
New, the Z-lennials, whatever these kids are.
So after shooting the fuck out of this
masterminds
trailer, they start trying to break in through the windows. And Mel Gibson's just stabbing their hands with kitchen knives.
He's
just
doing
like
good.
Barking cuss words. Yeah. We're getting some great, just like out of control. Once again, Riggs-esque, like wild and out action shit from him.
Yeah.
I'm loving everything Mel Gibson's given me in this movie so far. His look, his attitude, his gruffness.
There's one good thing here.
What's
so
that?
Like when they first start shooting at him and threatening him and shit, somebody pisses him off. I forget what they say, but Mel Gibson's talking about, like, I've been in jail, like, I know what the fuck's going on, I know you guys are scumbags, yada yada, and then something happens and he just yells, I'll see you on the inside, you chicken shit motherfucker!
Pretty good thing to yell at somebody, I guess.
He says, like, we're gonna end up in jail together, and I will murder you there.
Yeah, that's not afraid.
That's a great threat, like, that's good character work. I'm like, this dude's been... in jail,
he's
bro.
Institutionalized, because he's not even like fantasizing about things where he kicks somebody's ass outside of jail. Yeah. He's just like, well, I'm going back to prison. All the cool shit I'm going to do might as well take place in prison, even in my fantasies.
Yeah.
They get in their truck after like getting their hands stabbed by kitchen knives, because they're like, fuck this. Let's just flip his fucking trailer.
Yeah.
This guy's living in a single wide, like a fucking white trash piece of shit.
Like a real Riggs.
Ramming speed, man. They ram this shit. It rolls over with the kid and Mel Gibson in it. This is not making him any happier. He's screaming. He's cussing. It's looking like this is going to be a short movie right here, quite frankly. These guys have caught him by surprise. They've taken him out.
Took me by surprise.
If not, Matt, for the very, very timely intrusion of one William H. Macy.
His sponsor.
That's right.
He's there and he's like, hey... we're a bunch of racist white people with shotguns.
The whole fucking trailer park community rolls up on these guys. They've all got guns, and they're just like, not in our fucking trailer park.
It's one of the realest scenes in any movie.
This is like the conservative right-wing hillbillies fantasy of like what the world should be like. Like, any brown people come in, start causing trouble, all me and my neighbors, we got our guns. We ain't gonna stand for it. We'll protect ourselves.
It's what that idiot thought was gonna happen the night he killed Trayvon Martin.
Community's gonna rally around
this
me.
It's gonna be like the blood father. Here's my Bloodfather moment.
If you read the reports, he did come from seeing Bloodfather before that incident took place. He was high off Bloodfather.
He says Bloodfather like 8 times in the police review. It's kind of fucked
up. No, it's not a problem. It's like Bloodfather.
He calls the female cop Sugar Tits.
The person didn't see Bloodfather?
Hey, Sugar Tits, you didn't see Bloodfather yet? It's weird.
So yeah, these guys roll off and they're like, oh, we'll see you again. This is not the end of this. White people.
We understand.
We've got a whole race war brewing here in this movie, The Blood Father.
The Blood Father, Holmes.
So the police are rolling up because there's been a gigantic shootout. And Mel Gibson's like, well, I'm not going fucking back to jail for you.
Oh, no.
Me and my daughter, we're going to hop in my shit box of, I think it was like a Chevy Nova he's driving.
It's a Chevy Nova. Yeah. Good catch, friend. Right,
good catch because that was my first car as a young child. My mother was driving me around in a shit box Chevy Nova.
What year?
Early 80s had to have been.
That's
so
too bad. You get yourself
times.
Like
I got a lot of great memories riding around in shit box Chevy Novas.
Late 60s, early 70s. You get yourself a nice Nova.
That's definitely not what was going on. Me and my blood mother.
You and blood mother?
80s piece of shit.
After she got out of jail.
She was working that fantasy life waiting tables. Not quite in Oregon, but it was close enough.
Close enough.
It was almost in Bloodfather, quite frankly. I came up in this movie, so it's really resonating with me at this point. So they're on the fucking run now.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. It's just father and daughter. Hope you can learn how to bond, even though you haven't seen each other in years. This is going to be a heartwarming tale. I can feel it right here.
First lesson Mel Gibson learns is girls pee a lot.
Yeah, because I guess that's true.
Makes him pull over immediately.
She's just squatting out in the desert.
And he goes, y'all rung out? You finished? Because he's crazy.
Barks generally every line that he delivers in this movie.
That's great. It's good stuff. I really like it.
Thankfully, this movie does not go in the direction of like heartwarming. If this was made in the 90s, that's where this would be going. It'd be like just like a lot of scenes now. These two on the road, like learning to live around each other again.
Your favorite movie is Tom Hanks' Big?
Nothing. That's like my that favorite is movie. At all because this man is fucking sick of the world. This chick is drugged out and fucking crazy.
Plus, Mel Gibson hates Tom Hanks.
That's
so that could never happen.
So, you know, what's going on next is I think there's a big motel room.
Yeah.
This is the next thing in my house. Yeah. This is a great
that hotel.
Sequence. Loving the fucking hotel sequence. Turns out they go to some, you know, one of these two-tier highway motels, get a fucking room.
The no-tell motel.
Some fucking nerdy virgin working the desk like there always is.
He's somebody's blood son.
Making eyes at the daughter. Fucking Mel Gibson's like, that's my blood daughter. I'll fucking tear your throat out of your
neck.
He's
not even a blood son. You
idiot.
He's a pussy son.
He's definitely a pussy son. But old girl's like, you know what? Any chance I got to just go off the reservation and act fucking dumb,
if
I'm going to do it.
If I get like some D...
So she's sneaking out of that hotel room at night and is like, that guy's a fucking nerd and a loser, but it's the only thing I got going on around here. I'm just going to go down in the fucking lobby and fuck with him for a while.
Yeah.
This is where she finds out, oh shit, my face is all over the news. They say I killed that whole family of people. I am very wanted.
And also wet now, knowing that I'm famous.
Also, the kid working the register is a little wet, damp with perspiration. He's very nervous to have a girl around and also a known murderer. And it's just like, I might have called the cops on you.
Hope I didn't.
We find out the cops are en route. She's got to call up the blood father and be like, yo, blood father, get the shit. Get out of that room. We're in some serious trouble.
He says he didn't. He says the daytime guy called the cops.
I don't understand.
The daytime guy was never there.
He was never there. This is the guy that checked him in.
Clearly,
he's
did
the only guy we've seen. Like
you pussy.
This is the dumbest excuse anybody's ever come up with.
Yeah, but old girl.
But the girl
buys
like
it.
Buys it. She's like, oh yeah, gay guy's always fucking the night guy, and I'm like, no, you idiot.
You got
gay
there.
Guy wasn't
at night.
Here. You're trusting everybody.
You
You're
showed
far
up
too
at
trusting.
Ugh.
But Mel Gibson gets out of the fucking motel room.
Right.
He's down there in the lobby. They see the cops roll
He's
up.
He's pissed.
The cops go up to search the fucking room, and they get blown away, man. Just out of nowhere. Somebody was apparently in their hotel room, which I guess...
It was fucked up.
Must have happened in the, like, 12 seconds it took Mel Gibson to leave that room and come down. Unless, like, this guy was just, like, hiding under their bed the whole time they were in there.
Maybe there
just,
was
like,
a back
ready
door,
to spring. Like, came in through the
somehow
bathroom window, maybe.
Came through the bathroom. I like that song. I know what you did there, yeah. So something happens. These cops are dead. Bloodfather's like, I got to get my blood daughter out of here. There's a blood situation.
And I
got to
get my own blood ass out of this fucking...
Well, it's a blood situation. Yeah. So he's like, I'm going to hotwire this car. And she's all like, holy shit, Mexican Frankenstein.
We got a Sicario,
like,
Matt.
Yeah.
I think this is pre the movie Sicario. And they're throwing around the term Sicario. This is some fucking drug cartel cred.
2016,
throwing around.
Was it?
I don't know. I don't remember when Sicario came out. That movie was boring as hell.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. I never saw it. But he's like, oh, dude, this guy's Sicario.
This scene's great. Just like Mel Gibson's trying to hotwire a fucking, like, Woody wagon or something. Mm-hmm. This guy's just literally like Jason Voorhees stalking towards them with a shotgun. They milk the tension for all it's worth for like a good 5 minutes, it feels like. The girl's like screaming. Gibson's just like at work but paying no attention to how close they are to death. And this is another time where it feels like, well, these guys are fucked. Like they're clearly dead now. But they get out of it just by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, they get out of there.
He gets the thing started. He tries to peel out right before the Sicario can shotgun their faces. Like another cop shows up and he has to shotgun the cop instead. It's the perfect little distraction for them to get on the fucking road. We're back on the run again. There's no respite for this blood family.
On the road again. They can't get any. And so what happens? They get...
Starts calling around.
He calls,
find some help or whatever. And I think this is where Michael Park's character comes into it.
Before that, he's like, you know what? I got one last Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I got a boy in jail.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my vatos.
Arturo.
Rios? Yeah, Rios is his name.
I thought there was an Arturo.
Rios.
Rios Arturo. He's the same character.
He's like, hey, I'm going to check with my vato. He might know who this scary looking Sicario dude was. And he's like, pass this note to him.
Okay.
And that's all we know.
So Arturo, does Rios pass the note to Arturo? Arturo's the bald guy with the gray.
No, that's
goatee.
Rios.
That's
dog.
Rios.
That's Rios.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find out. You can move it along, though.
Yeah, either way, they figure out, like, oh, your blood daughter's boyfriend was, like, the nephew of Hugh Hefe or whatever. He's, like, the big fucking
he's the guy.
Drug guy.
Oh, his name's Arturo Rios.
Okay, see? We knew it. Fucking knew that was that guy's name.
His fucking name.
They're like, but he's kind of a off-the-chain asshole. Like, his family doesn't even like him. He's very much like the idiot cousin in Get the Gringo, is a line that one of the characters say.
Yeah, like, I heard
him say. He's just like that guy from Get the Gringo.
Remember that vato you crossed?
So they sent him to America to just do fucking shit work, basically. Yeah,
pretty much. And they're like, oh, well, fuck. We gotta figure out how to get a ride, because our ride died.
Yeah, we got a lot of problems right now.
This is where they hitch a ride with the illegal Mexicans.
They make it to, like, the bar where he's trying to, like, figure out where Preacher is, this character's name.
Preacher's.
Like, where's
that's fucking, who's going to get a hold of
where's
now.
Where's Preacher at? And, like, these guys are like, listen, man, you're fucking an old nerd. We're clearly, like, rough and tumble bargoers.
And cool.
And we're cool as fuck. Like,
we're probably
going to tell you anything.
Swing with your daughter.
Definitely, they start crowding around the daughter
blood
in a way
daughter.
That looks like a still from a Brazzers video. Like,
right, yeah.
Things seem like they're going south
right.
here. But this is where the
this
daughter
is the start of every Bukkake
shows
film.
For the first time that maybe she's a little bit more in control than we've given her credit for, us as the audience and the blood father as well. Because she fucking flirts with these guys a little bit and gets all the information out of them.
She's like, I will show you my pussy if you give us Preacher's address.
So they get Preacher's address, and Mel Gibson gives her a little like, ooh, wow, she actually got some, hey, did some help in here. Hey. Thought my kid was a total fucking moron.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe she ain't half bad, which is the closest we really get in this movie to like a father and son growing, or father and daughter growing back together storyline. So
he's like,
I don't know. If you're going to cry, this is maybe the point where you do it.
I think so. Right. This is the emotional.
A daughter was able to use her feminine wiles to get an address out of those disgusting men by probably insinuating they could gangbang her.
Right.
Just chip off the old block.
But either way, we've got the preacher's address. So he's like, hey, I'm at Preacher's house now.
Mm-hmm. This guy's got a compound. It's all tricked out with like booby traps and fake signs about landmines. He's selling like Nazi and Confederate paraphernalia on the eBay or something.
Right.
Dale Dickey's there sunning herself. And I'm like, oh, lady, that skin does not need any more sun on it. You are so committed to playing all of these leathery fucking white trash women in any
You're
movie
just
you
tanning
can do.
In a movie. Just tanning in a movie.
And we learn, like, hey, this guy's the reason why Mel Gibson went to jail for all those years. Like, he was working for him. He wouldn't open his
Something
mouth
happened.
And implicate anybody.
I kept
he
my
went
mouth
down.
Shut.
He kept his mouth shut. This guy's got his old fucking chopper. He's got, like, his Harley. He wants to get back.
Oh, you got to get it all back.
You got to get it all back.
You got to get it all
Michael
back.
Park's like, that's all well and good, but before that happens, let's throw a biker party. So then it's nighttime and there's just bikers everywhere.
It's pretty cool looking.
It's pretty fucking cool. It feels like you're at Sturgis and
it's
you're
like
about
all,
to see
yeah.
some like
it's
leathery
like all the
old
biker
lady
parties
tits.
I've been to.
But we don't really get any flashing old lady tits with
because
like,
mostly because it's all dudes
with like
there.
Ivy tattooed on them or whatever.
Right.
What I was hoping for.
Right.
But that's fucking lame. That doesn't happen. There is a cool scene here with Michael Park fucking like corners the young girl and starts telling her about life and shit.
Yeah.
And I really, this guy's talking about how the country is fucking on the downfall and
he's doing great here.
Because anybody who's like a subversive or a revolutionary element, this country like commodifies them and sells them to like lame suburbanites, making what they do seem lame, and that's how they squash any sort of rebellion. So
you're
soon
the reason why you can buy a Wu-Tang shirt at H&M. That's what he's
That's
telling
exactly
her.
What he's telling her. This all shit's all ringing true. He's like, out here in my desert compound is going to be the only place you can live free, baby.
Yeah. Start S-ing my D.
Starts telling her about how she's got like the smell of a victim on her. And like anywhere she goes the rest of her life, that any bad person's going to be able to smell that on her immediately. And I'm like, I'm watching Dr. Drew and Adam in 90s Loveline right now. This guy's giving her all the fucking straight shooting she needs to get through life as a child of trauma.
Of a winner.
This guy's been around the block. He knows it. Maybe he's not so bad.
He's like, the only way out is to eat my wife's vajayjay while I bang you.
But turns out, yeah, he is a bad guy. Because it's not like two scenes later where they figure out that Mel Gibson and this chick are wanted.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they owe Mel Gibson, they're like, fuck it, we're turning y'all in for this reward
money. Oh, hell yeah. He's a businessman through and through.
Businessman through and through, kind of a scumbag, but it's all cool because it just leads to Mel Gibson punching Dale Dickey full force in the face as hard as he can, knocking her out.
He says something about sucking his dick and smiling.
Yeah, she should definitely be sucking his dick and smiling.
Yeah.
And so should Michael Park because this guy gets a gun put in his face.
This is where we get the angriest Mel.
Yeah, angriest Mel is coming out. He's fucking furious that he's been stabbed in the back by a couple of his oldest friends here. So
he's like, I did 9 years for you, Vato.
He steals his motorcycle back. He throws his daughter on the back of it. We're back to being on the run. Can't trust anybody.
Nah.
There's no place safe. This is like Terminator 2 at this point right here.
He's Stone Cold DTA.
Which also very much Terminator 2 in the scene right after this where a couple of the bikers come after him shooting at him with pistols.
Yeah.
He pulls that cool fucking move where he slams on the brakes and like spins sideways.
Yeah.
Flips the shotgun right up and starts shooting at them just like Arnold Schwarzenegger in fucking Terminator 2.
No, this French guy came up with this scene.
T2 moment right here. It's one of the best action beats in this movie. He blows away the one guy. Then there's some more cat and mousing with the other guy and their motorcycles until he like maneuvers him around into getting just flattened by a semi.
Oh, boy gets maximum overdrive.
It's cool, too, because just the semi crashes into him and you see it real well. Like, the effects on this shit looks real cool. He's splattered all over the fucking highway.
It looked like they used, like, a dummy or something. It was, like, a practical effect.
Like,
it wasn't
definitely
just a CGI
maybe
explosion.
Maybe some, like, painting around the edges to, like, add to it. But there was some sort of practical element here of, like, a motorcycle coming head-on with a fucking semi and shit crashing everywhere.
Yeah, it was
it
a dummy
real fucking cool.
Or a dude actually agreed to, like, drive into the front of a semi.
Yeah, so I guess these are the first people they've, like, actively killed in this movie. Stakes are raising right now. They're on the run. They're being blamed for murders. Now they've actually done some murders.
And it's a good point you bring that up because we should mention that's kind of an underlining thing. Like the whole movie, they're kind of going back and forth where it's like, well, you know, you're on parole, Dad, but they're really after me. So you could just run at any time. And he's like, yeah, look, they're already going to think I'm a piece of shit. I'll take the heat. You can live a real life. And they're kind of going back and forth.
There is.
The entire time. And then, yeah, like you said,
there's always a tension as to whether or not like this blood father is going to prove to be the real blood father.
And, like, right here, he,
by sticking with his daughter, even though she's a total flibberty gibbet.
Right. He's killed two dudes, crossed his good old friend.
The second my fucking trailer got flipped, I'd have been like, all right, you're out.
Yeah.
You'd fucking later
I called the cops myself. Yeah. I'm not living this way. He should have listened to William H. Macy.
That's what separates us. Water fathers and blood. Well, I guess what's that the opposite of a blood father?
Well, we declared other boy pussy boy, so I guess we're pussy fathers.
She's got a couple of stepfathers we learn about.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you were raised by three stepfathers. Yeah. Should have been me, the blood father.
We all know.
Personally, I was in jail that whole time.
We all used to listen to Loveline. We know those odds. One of those three stepfathers touched her inappropriately.
One of them, going to say, is a roofer. Yeah. The other one probably drives a forklift.
Yeah.
We could definitely bet on what these guys were doing for
a living. Do the math. Come on now. So he's like, we killed those guys.
Now I'm going to shave my face and put on a suit
and go to jail. Worst part of the movie.
You dye your hair blonde.
Yeah, he shaves. We're like, this is bad.
This is where he goes to meet Arturo Rios in the fucking jail, and he gets the information. This guy's like, okay, this guy's not only the nephew of this fucking cartel, he's been stealing money from them, which is why there's so many heavy people involved in this. He's trying to weasel his way out of all this money.
He's trying to pin it on your daughter.
So
your blood daughter.
So this is when Mel Gibson's like, oh, fuck, man, this is some serious shit. Meanwhile, old fucking daughter, the blood daughter, gets a call from William H. Macy. This adds to my confusion about the cell phone and if anybody was ever tracing it. Because he's like, I don't fucking trust you being alone right now. You need to, like, go out in public.
Yeah.
Maybe like a theater or something.
Right.
So she does.
She does.
And then this is where it's revealed that her boyfriend that she thought was killed is really still alive. He's just like all gross and like sort of a golem type figure now.
Yeah.
And he shows up exactly at this movie theater. So I'm like, are they trying to lead me to believe that they like had William H. Macy and they like had a gun to his head and was like, tell her to go to a theater. And then from that, they just knew where she was and what theater to go to? Or do they just have her cell phone traced? And if so, if they're just tracing her cell phone, why not show us that? And what's with all the rigmarole of like all this William H. Macy conversations and whatnot?
Well, you know, maybe they can ping it to where she might be.
There's pinging happening.
You can ping a phone. Yeah, you ping that phone.
That's like some 90s shit. Right now, we can just fucking zoom in on you on Google Earth.
Nah, 2016, you're still pinging phones.
I don't buy it. We're not triangulating from different cell towers.
They're triangulating.
Okay, so we're going to lead to believe that they tell her to go to a theater, and then they're pinging around. What's some theater in this area? That's got to be where she is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say.
It seems like a leap to me.
Yeah, they knew to go back.
They halfway explained maybe how they could possibly fucking find this chick. They maybe use William H. Macy. They maybe use the phone.
Yeah.
Either way, they kidnap her at this movie theater.
Yeah, so he looks awful. He looks terrible.
They got the blood daughter, and she's blonde now, and just this blonde hair has really washed out her features.
Yeah, I don't like it at
all. She's
got
like a real plain face going now, and I'm just like, oh, you got to get back to that natural hair color. This disguise is doing nothing for you, blood daughter.
She looks like an even less spectacular Anna Paquin.
Yeah, much more character in that Anna Paquin face, though.
Right.
Just every feature she has washed out as soon as this hair turns blonde.
Absolutely.
I guess it does work well for not being able to pick her up in a lineup. Just like, it could have been her.
Could have been another white
trash girl from Hammond. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Hard to say.
She's really blended into the crowd now.
It's really hard to say. So fucking Gibson gets out of jail and he's like,
time to call my good buddy William H. Macy. Tell him all the shit I learned in jail. Apparently he's just like calling William H. Macy and giving him detailed reports on everything they're doing, which proves to be his undoing.
Yeah.
I don't know why William H. Macy needs all or any of this information, quite frankly.
Because it's his only friend.
They're really leaning on that sponsor fucking relationship here.
They declare to each other, you're my only real friend.
Like, that fucking scene where the Mexicans come to shoot up his trailer, though, they specifically tell, like, William H. Macy, like, well, we got our eye on you now, and we're coming after you again.
Yeah.
And there's never, like, once, hey, even, much bro, like the cell phone, they're never like, maybe you should get rid of that cell phone. They're also never like, maybe we shouldn't tell William H. Macy everything, because they know who he is, and they're coming after him, too.
They stated they're gonna kill him.
Yeah, very clearly. Yeah. Very fucking clearly. I would not be telling William H. Macy all this fucking info about where I am and what I'm doing.
And so they do.
He's a marked man.
They do. They show up.
And then they shoot bullets and all those marks on him.
Yeah.
Because fucking he tries to call William H. Macy. Instead, he's got Diego Luna on the phone. And he's like,
yeah,
hey, I got William H. Macy in a trunk. I'm going to shoot him full of holes.
Yeah.
Which he does.
Then Bloodfather's like, I'm the Bloodfather, bro.
You're just the blood boyfriend.
Yeah.
You mean nothing.
That means nothing, what you are.
I don't care how many tattoos you have over your heart. Also, kind of some fucking like cuck pussy whipped shit right there to have that tattoo, quite frankly. Yeah.
He's like, I know.
I do not respect that.
I know you're in like a crazy ass gang, but I did 9 years in a jail. I know everybody. I know you're a shitty gangster. I know you stole money from your family. I know your family wants to kill you.
Know your uncle's Hugh Hefe.
Yeah, your uncle Hugh Hefe sent Sicario to babysit you.
I saw that movie Sicario. It came out 2 years ago. Yeah. I know everything about that.
Yeah, 2015, year before. So he's like, I saw it.
I love Jessica Chastain. Yeah. Was she the one in that movie?
I couldn't tell you. Okay. I think it's got a Benicio del Toro.
Emily Blunt, I believe.
Benicio del Toro is as far as I can
Benicio does good work in that.
Yeah. And he's like,
Josh Brolin is in there somewhere?
Maybe, probably.
I remember.
Bits and pieces.
It's like somebody roofied me and then made me watch that movie. That was what it feels like. It
might have happened to you. Who's to say?
I might have roofied myself.
It's a fine way to see a film with yourself. So he's like, I'm the blood father. I'm coming to get you is what you need to know. And Diego Luna's like, whoa, hey, man, like, slow down. Like, we're in charge.
Yeah, we've got your daughter. We're a bunch of tough gang guys. I don't know why you think you've got the upper hand here at all.
And he's like, because I'm the blood father. Let's meet on a place.
Mm-hmm. Out in the desert. Yeah, call me back. Because this whole movie's shot out in the desert. We don't have much budget we're working with.
He's like, take a minute to think about it because I got to go set up some traps.
Mm-hmm.
And then call me back.
We've got some Home Alone-esque traps in store yeah. for you. So get ready for it.
Diego Luna's like, okay, fine, I won't. Fine.
So the next scene, he goes back to Preacher's house, the blood father, steals like some bombs, some fucking landmines.
Yeah.
Preacher's like, what the fuck you doing? Stealing my shit. I can't believe it. And he's just like, you're not in the movie anymore.
I don't even have time,
we don't have time for you to be a B-plot anymore. So he shoots him in the chest.
Real fast.
It's like, well, Preacher's dead.
That's how you keep a film to 88 minutes.
You got to just fucking keep moving on. Yeah. How's he going to get some bombs? Break, just go steal the bombs and then shoot that guy.
Yeah.
Now he's got bombs.
Yeah, you never liked him to begin with. You did 9 years for him.
So this is our big finale. Bloodfather's on his fucking hog.
Yeah.
Meeting these gang members and they're fucking... Were they riding like around like an Escalade or something, I think? They got like an Escalade out in the desert.
Yeah.
We're face to face. Blonde girls in the back seat, all tied up or whatever. It all goes down right here.
Bloodfather's like, hey, look, I ain't got no shirt on. I just parked my bark. I parked my parked my bike, but you didn't see me.
It wasn't a bark. Yeah, it was. I'm following now. Yeah, it was his bike.
Yeah, you didn't see me plant a grenade.
Yeah, he's got a fucking landmine.
He's got like a bouncing Betty,
like under his fucking kickstand or whatever. So
we've all seen
bike moves. Fucking blown away 101.
Yeah.
That thing's taking all of us out.
Yeah. It's going to put paint all over a young, sleepy eyed Forrest Whitaker.
Does Forrest Whitaker have to explain this? What's going to happen to you guys? Apparently.
Jesus.
They fall for it. Yeah. They tape up Mel Gibson, throw him in the back of the fucking car with his daughter, and there's like, well, I guess we got to move this bike out of our way now because it's parked in the middle of the road.
I'm not turning around, that's for sure.
I probably would have just like ran that bike off the fucking road out of spite if I was them.
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted to keep it, though.
Fuck your bike, bro.
It was a nice like custom work done on it.
Yeah.
Fucking like good looking hog, I guess. But no, they fucking, two of the lackeys go and try to move it. Bouncing Betty clicks. They explode.
Boom.
And then the Bloodfather's like, that's my cue to start just fighting people inside this car.
It's like an animal, man.
We get a close quarters fight with his limbs taped together.
It's so cool.
He's just fucking going nuts, just roaring like a lion.
Yeah.
Fucking putting his feet into the back of the driver's seat, smushing this guy's face against the windshield.
Like breaking his teeth against the steering wheel.
Headbutting the guy next to him, like,
he
not once or twice.
Ear.
He bites his ear off, Mike Tyson
and
style.
Spits it at him.
And then is just headbutt after headbutt. Just a fucking piston ramming through this guy's skull.
It's so fucking
cool. It's insane. It looks great. It's super fucking violent.
Yeah.
Definitely my favorite moment in this movie.
Oh,
just the insane in this fucking car freak out fight.
His daughter's just next to him, just like watching her old man, just like a fucking
like, oh God,
wounded dog.
Some
back
shit happened to this
wall.
Guy when he was in jail. I don't even want to know about it.
Yeah, somebody made a play for his butthole at some point.
Yeah, it was William H. Macy in that first scene at AA when he tells him he's going to stick his thumb up his butt.
That's true. Good call.
But the Sicario, he's the only guy who's like got a head on his shoulders here. Yeah. He's not going to fight Mel Gibson inside this car. No. He gets the high ground. He gets his fucking rifle. He starts shooting at Mel and the daughter when they try to leave the car. Mel takes a couple of hits. We got a standoff here. It's looking bad for Mel. He's getting pumped full of lead. He manages to like lure the guy down off of his perch by like playing dead. Like,
well, he puts one
dead
in the Sicario's shoulder.
Yeah, but that guy's winged now. Gibson's got some vital organs bleeding out at this point. It's not looking great. Bloodfather's father blood is all over the place.
But that's what made Sicario be like, ooh, man, I got to go close quarters.
Yeah.
I can't risk this.
He creeps down. He's creeping around the car. Gibson's like looking at his cowboy boots. He knows where he is. It's coming down to this showdown right now. Whoever can get off the first shot's going to fucking live. The other one's going to die.
So what happens?
Oh, spoiler alert. They both die. They just shoot each other like at the same time. Basically, they both die. But the Sicario guy dies right away. Mel Gibson's just mortally wounded enough to where he can say some inspirational words to his daughter before he dies.
Yeah, it's makes
like,
a teary goodbye.
I want you to know that I am and I always will be the blood father.
Yeah.
And you are my blood daughter.
Yeah.
even though you were a total asshole through this whole movie and you completely ruined my life and eventually got me killed.
Even though you acted like a Jew. He said, that's one of the lines.
Yeah, he starts going off on her like, Jews start all wars. You started this war.
You're a Jew.
You are a Jew. It does not end pretty. It was like, Mel Gibson, if this is going to be your big comeback,
you blew it in the last scene, man.
Like,
you were so close.
Leave that in the cutting room floor.
You don't need to be talking about
that. No,
that
doesn't happen. Okay. She's like, no, I am your blood daughter. I will always be your blood daughter. I'm so sad that you're dead.
Yeah.
And we get a nice bookend scene here where it's like the beginning where Mel was in AA. Now the daughter's in AA. And
right.
Like, she's like, it's a year later and I've been sober for a year.
Oh, don't forget that Jonah crawls away but gets taken down by the police.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The boyfriend.
Rios's boys. Fuck him.
Fucking Arturo Rios finds him in jail.
I'm going to fuck you, bro.
Yeah, you're going to get probably shivved, but fucked a lot before that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the girl's like, I'm an AA. I've been sober for a year. I'm going to be a good person now. Unfortunately, I have not dyed my hair back to its natural color a year later. I'm sticking with this stupid blonde hair. I look dumb.
It's stupid.
So this is a very bittersweet ending.
Yeah.
There's probably not going to be a Blood Daughter spinoff, I wouldn't imagine.
No, not with that hair.
And that's it for Bullet Points and Blood Father.
Huh.
Let's take a break here. Let's figure out what we're doing going forward. Let's drop in some coming attractions, and then let's come back for our final segment, the way we always do it, the only way we can. It's Judgment Day.
Please don't move.
Something on your boot.
Yeah, I noticed.
There's an issue with the bus you two made this morning.
How long is this suspension gonna be?
6 weeks, no pay.
We are 6 months behind in bills.
I figured things.
I would talk with Andre on Tuesday. You interested if something comes up?
I'll let you know.
What are we doing here?
Money. Yesterday, I was a cop. Today, I'm a poor civilian who's nearly 60. We have the right to acquire proper compensation.
You had a tip on this?
Lorenz Vogelman.
Be ready by tomorrow night.
Gotta go.
If you do this, you do it solely because you want to earn.
I'm sort of okay with taking money off some dealer.
Best part of a stakeout is when you're eating.
A single red ant could have eaten it faster.
Who the hell are those guys?
There's a lot of imbeciles out there.
Things are getting weird. We're heading into new territory.
Start the party. You still in?
I am until I'm not.
Eddie Cusack is a good cop, having a bad day.
Brothers, I promise you, blood for blood.
The toughest cop in the world just got tougher. Chuck Norris, Code of Silence, rated R. Starts this Friday at a theater near you.
I just realized last night, talking to the little lady about the COVID-19, like,
that's right.
Yeah, it's devastating a lot of people in terms of people are dying from it.
Mm-hmm.
People are losing their jobs.
Lucky.
But we're also going to have in the future people that just like went off the deep end from this.
That
just like didn't survive quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And like it'll be a plot point in movies in like 10 years from now when they're like, yeah, he was the guy, man. Like he had it all together and then COVID-19 hit.
Are you telling me he was never the same? An Adam Sandler Reign Over Me sequel where this time maybe he is quarantine crazy Adam Sandler?
Maybe it's Andy Samberg this time.
Man. You know? We can at least get Sandman in there as his dad or something.
Could be.
These two can always play father and son.
I didn't survive 9/11 just so you could fall apart during this.
I want to see that movie so bad. It's fucking gold in our hands right there, right over me too.
Oh, he finally gets that Oscar he deserves. Both of them.
Yeah, fucking also Uncut Gems snubbed for an Oscar. That's what's happening to you this year, fucking movie industry. You're getting punished.
You're getting snubbed. Getting
punished for not giving Sandman. What's
Sandman prayed to his Jewish deities to rain down on
you. We got a good 6 weeks of releases out this year, and it's like the worst part of the year releases, too. What's going to win the Oscars? You're going to get like fucking Vin Diesel's going to win for Bloodshot. It's going to be like picture of the year, Birds of Prey.
God.
You know, get some more movies out there. Things are gonna be looking bleak at that 2020 Oscars.
They gotta make some movies.
We gotta judge some movies, so let's get into Judgment Day here, Matt.
Okay.
This is where we take the movie that we've been talking about and we open it up to you, the public.
And we say, put up your dukes.
What you think about it.
Hey, movie, put up your dukes.
Do you love it? Do you hate it? There's a lot of you out there, so you got a lot of different opinions. So I got
idiots.
A few one-bullet reviews here. I got a few five-bullet reviews here. Let's get into them. Let's listen to them. This first one-bullet review is from an IMDb user named Jake Phantom. That's with an F.
That's pretty cool.
Unwatchable, unconvincing violence fest featuring wild overacting by stereotypical snarling villains with thick, fake accents. Pretty sure those are real Mexicans, man.
There's snarling.
The years have not been kind. Specifically, the years of abusing alcohol, women, and people of the Jewish faith. Mel now has the sunken, shriveled look of the long-term alcoholic. But more disappointing is the fact that he seems to have forgotten how to act altogether.
Bullshit.
The guy who electrified us all in the first two Road Warrior movies, Mad Max movies, Road Warrior was only the second one, is now a shadow of his former self, who seems intently focused on remembering his lines. Even William Macy, too cool to put in the H, this guy knows old Bill Macy, in a supporting role can't do much with this leaden script, moribund direction, and pouch-faced leading man. If you absolutely need to watch an hour or so of violence, I would look for phone captures on YouTube. At least you won't have to suffer through Mel's sodden and feeble attempts at acting.
You're an attempt.
One bullet from IMDb user Jake Phantom.
I don't like a lick of what that guy said.
Not on our good
side. I don't like a lick of what that guy said.
Different approach here, maybe. One bullet review from a Letterboxd user named Anaki. I watched this movie with my dad since he likes to watch movies with old men who sacrifice themselves for other people. Bonus points if he's Denzel Washington.
Go back.
But this movie sucked.
What?
That was it. That was the whole review. Her dad likes to watch movies with old men who sacrifice themselves for other people, but this one sucked.
Wait, who sacrifice themselves for other people?
Bonus points if he's Denzel Washington.
This is my niece writing in the future, talking about her father. Oh,
okay, I got one more one-bullet review. This is from a Letterboxd user named Sydney Lumet Sucks.
Dave loves the Denzel. He just loves him.
That's Sydney Lumet Sucks with two X's at the end of Sucks.
It's got to be. You think I didn't know?
What? An 89% score on Rotten Tomatoes? An average rating of 3.1 on Letterboxd? As I always say, don't always trust the critics, because, my dudes, this movie was bad.
Ooh.
Mel is good. The two or three action scenes were good, but that's where inequality ends. Bad performances from everyone outside from Mel Gibson. Bland cinematography. Boring story, stupid writing, terrible dialogue, and undetectable directing. What a shame and what a waste. I was excited for this. One bullet from Sydney Lumet Sucks.
Oh, so it could have been a dude.
Probably.
I pictured it as a woman.
You're always trying to tear down the women.
Because I heard Sydney and it made me think it was a girl. So then, I heard the entire...
This is just somebody who really hates the movie Network.
No, the entire thing I heard was just fat friend.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's always banging her hot friends.
Oh, man,
but not
that's
her.
An annoying situation.
Yeah, and but she's like, I'm the cool one. I'm down to earth. I say my dudes.
I think the fat friend would be putting 5-bullet reviews on this movie, though, to try and get in on the dude's good side. Like, we all love Mel Gibson
together,
right?
That's where I was thrown off. And there's the disconnect. The
Eastern European woman should have blown him and smiled. Yeah. We got maybe a fat friend here. This is a 5-bullet review from IMDb user General Oriser.
Oh, that's a cool
General
name.
General Oriser. OMG, my tears can't stop. I can't believe Action Movie made me cry like this.
What?
The father died to save his cute kid. Life, the acting was amazing. The effects was outstanding.
I know that writing.
Why the father is dead? Why? He did commit to not drink and save his daughter's life. I want to see both the actors at The Last of Us like the game at the PS3.
Is this their favorite movie ever?
This
oh my gosh,
time, please don't
time.
Kill any of them. I know the girl was about to die at the end. Don't kill her. The girl was so cute, so hot, like she was on fire. The dad is so good, competitive. Yes, I won't go down that easy. The hotel guy, when he saw the cute girl, he decided to help. Who wouldn't? I would, we know, it's against the law, but she was so down cute to resist. Why give this 60 out of 10 movie? 5 bullets from IMDb user General Oriser.
I mean, it brings up a lot of good points.
Can't deny that. Oh, we got a pretty serious 5-bullet review here. This is from an IMDb user named Davey Cricket. That's Davey _ Cricket.
Davey Cricket.
No serious spoilers ahead, I promise. But I can see how it could be viewed otherwise. My first post here, so I'm cautious. Okay, just a little preamble.
I'm just cautious. I don't want people to make fun of me.
I just saw the best movie of the year for me so far. Bloodfather, Mel Gibson, Nuff said. It's a shoot 'em up, not my usual cup of tea.
Okay.
I prefer films with older women sitting around reminiscing the past.
Excuse
the
me?
Man that got away, that sort of thing. Horse hockey! Plenty of cussing, but at least it felt real and not gratuitous. Countering that was the occasional meaning of life gab fest. Going in, I thought it was going to be another Taken. That would have been okay. With Mel Gibson, sure, why not? A bit of that, but no, not really. Grittier, involving a common man with less than Liam Neeson's special set of skills. Not to give anything away, but Mel channels the road warrior in him.
Give me the fucking elephant.
Like you weren't expecting that while you were standing in line to buy tickets, popcorn, and a Coke. But don't expect Road Warrior Redux. Mel is playing a completely different character, and happily so.
Mm-hmm.
It was never cheesy. You won't laugh. You'll be on the edge of your seat. No sleepy parts at all. They packed a lot of movie in 90 minutes. With 30 minutes to go, I was wondering how they were going to resolve all this. The last 30 minutes is not the time to go to the lobby for any reason. You didn't buy a movie ticket. You bought a ticket to a carnival ride.
Mm.
I promise you. You'll fall in love with Erin Moriarty. She's a future name that everyone will know. And Mel Gibson will get an Oscar nod.
Oh.
It didn't take long for me to forget it was Mel. He was John Link trying to save his long-lost daughter. Missing for 4 years since she was 14. $30,000 reward for any information. And she calls him out of the clear blue. Dad, I'm in serious trouble. You're knocked up? No, much worse. The entire Mexican cartel is looking for me. They want me dead. Not exactly, but you get the idea. I'm not giving anything away you wouldn't surmise in the first 5 minutes. And I love the bullets versus SIGs moment at the very beginning.
Mm.
Point well made. I'd rank this with 2015's Run All Night, also from Liam Neeson. Another fave. Two other films to recommend from 2015 that may have passed under your radar. Star Wars I loved, but it's not like you didn't hear about it.
Right.
The Age of Adeline. The less you know about it, the better, because you run the risk of someone giving it away. Like Rosebud, it's a trust me. I lied. 2014. Miss Meadows, Katie Holmes, plays her eyeball character perfectly, destined to be a cult classic.
What's happening?
All these predictions, none of them are coming
true. What's that last movie?
Like I said,
about?
Under the radar. As for the biggies, I loved both The Revenant and The Martian last year. Between the two, I preferred The Martian. But then I'm a mechanical engineer. Duh. 5 bullets from IMDb user Davey Cricket.
I've never seen a vagina before. Duh.
I got one more.
Wow.
One more five bullet review here.
Also, I'd just like to point out that that person's like, finally, I saw the film of the year for 2016.
Yeah, that's right.
This movie came out August 26th.
Oh, wow. Jumping to conclusions, Matts, all over the place.
Uh-huh.
This is from a woman, according to the profile picture on Letterboxd. Is a five bullet user, or five bullet
review
sexy from
lady?
A Letterboxd user, Silverman.
Is this a sexy lady?
I'm letting you know it's a lady, because Silverman makes you sound like a
Jonathan
dude.
Silverman.
Yeah, no. I cry. Five bullets from Letterboxd user, Silverman.
That's
getting the last word there.
Jonathan Silverman, he's great in everything he does, though.
Yeah, get him in a Mel Gibson
movie. I tell you what, I just caught him in an episode of The Psych.
They could be father and son.
I caught him on an episode of The Psych. He was...
Where do you catch an episode of Spike?
All right.
Is this after you were watching Animaniacs?
You don't need to know every bit of how
none of this
my
sounds
life.
Real. Your life does not sound
it's,
real
it's,
to me.
It's a true story. You just don't understand how to use the cable.
Man, what I want to understand is your final thoughts and your bullet rating of fucking Bloodfather right here.
Nate,
I need to know.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
This was a very good movie. It was a very good movie. I liked a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had no issues with it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You've, like a son of a bitch, you got into my head a little bit with that whole phone call. Like,
oh, yeah.
Where's his phone? Or is this
wondered
or
about
that.
But it could have been more clear around.
But I tell
phone.
You what, I don't really care because it was 88 minutes. It's in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Gibson rips in this film.
Fucking A, man.
He's doing it all.
Hell yeah.
They're letting him just do a little bit of everything, and he kills at it, and I love what he does, his angry talk, and he starts, and he's nuts.
You could imagine being his ex-wife.
And yeah, and he beats up those people so good in that car, man.
So good.
I like this one a lot. It's all there. It's four bullets, man.
Four bullets is also what I rated the Bloodfather. I'm right there with you. I agree on what a great Mel Gibson greatest hits this is.
Yeah.
I love the 88 minutes. Only thing I got here in my final thoughts that you didn't already cover is I gotta talk about what a great supporting cast it is.
Oh, that's fair.
Such a simple, just like down and dirty, dumb action movie for this. The William H. Macy's of the world, the Dale Dickey's, really elevates it a step further than what this movie should have been. Four bullets. Great fucking work. Bloodfather. I'm starting to come around on this late career Mel Gibson thing.
Everybody's a goddamn character in that movie. That's a great point. The casting's great. Even in like the most like obnoxious of character acting, everything's
got
perfect.
A Diego Luna. He's classy as fuck.
He looks so beautiful with that long hair.
He really does look very pretty in this movie. If I was a teenage girl, I would be swooning.
Yeah. Instead, we were just teenage dirtbags.
Baby. Matt, we got one more week in the resurrection of Mel Gibson.
That's right. Join us next week when we talk about the Beaver.
Love to talk about the Beaver. Unfortunately, this is an action movie podcast, and there's not any action in that movie, so we're going to move it a little bit further along in Mel's career. This is going to be Mel's thesis statement for why you should respect him as an old man actor. We're watching an epic movie. It's not going to be 88 minutes. Hopefully, it's going to be worth our time.
It's going to be a lot longer.
It's basically S. Craig Zahler's Heat.
Oof.
Is what's going on here. We're watching Dragged Across Concrete.
I haven't seen this one.
Mel and Vince Vaughn, do they make a great fucking buddy cop duo? And two fucking old white men, does the world have time for them anymore? These are the questions we're going to be asking.
I saw the Bone Tomahawk. I saw the brawl in Cell Block 99. I have not seen
this. Idea of what we're getting into.
So come on in next week. Find out what we think. Find out what the world should feel about Mel Gibson.
We'll let you know.
On Baby Alone Blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own. And it hurts when they tear your dreams.